like you to turn to 1 Corinthians 15, please. I'd like to read the first four verses. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." What I want to talk about today is what I believe, personally, arguably, but personally, what are the four most important words in the entire Bible? Could be eight because they are repeated, but what are the most important words in the entire Bible? I mean, we have God's Word. It's hard to put one thing above another. There are 783,137 words in the Bible. Now, I don't know who took the time to count them all. I didn't. So I'm going to have to trust them rather than do it for myself, because that would take a long time. And just a little interesting side note here. Someone had also counted the words in the best-selling NIV. 807,370 words. That is almost 25,000. It's 24,233 added words. Say that again. 24,233 extra words. Revelation chapter 22, verse 18. One of the last words in the Bible. It's almost like it's the farewell. "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book." Now, I don't know about you, but that frightens me. But you show that to an NIVer, it's going in one ear and out the other. It's not going to make a bit of difference. But it is. There's a lot of difference there. People don't care about it. It says here in Revelation that one day they will. But people don't care that people are adding to God's Word arbitrarily. That every year it seems like there's a new Bible on the market and they stamp them. And every time they do, you know as well as I do, they get further and further away from the truth of what we have today now is no truth. You take it all the way back, King James Bible, you go back to there, English Bible that stood the test of time, and everything from there has added words unto it, what God says not to do. So we can't treat this in some trite manner. But anyway, I mentioned that, and going back to the King James, that out of the 783,137 words, there are four that I think are the absolute most important. They're repeated twice in the passage we just read, and they are those words according to the Scriptures. According to the Scriptures. Now, you can say that one of two ways, either in accordance to the Scriptures, or you can say it according to the Scriptures, like you might say, according to Fox News, blah, blah, blah. You can look at it like that too. According to the Scriptures, and you have your answer. What am I getting at? I'm getting at something very, very simple. That what we believe, that what you hold dearly in your life, has to be according to the Scriptures. Where you have nothing. We know the gospel is what saves a man's soul. And I don't find it coincidental that these words are found within the two verses that lead us to salvation. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he added those words according to the Scriptures, that changes the whole playing field when he uses those words. He's showing us the importance of these four words by repeating them in the next verse. Because if Christ died and was buried, and rose again from the dead, according to folklore, or according to those that witnessed it, or according to the newspapers, or according to tradition, or according to word of mouth, or according to anything else other than the scriptures, your faith is in vain. If you're believing it because of one of those other reasons, your faith is in vain. But we have a safe haven in a world full of unbelievers and darkness. The believer has a safe haven to go to. And it's sad when you look out at all the people in the churches. A lot of them are much more moral than I am. I have a brother-in-law that's extremely moral. I could wish to God that I had his patience and, you know, just his joy. But yet he reads the NIV and doesn't see anything wrong with that. The scriptures can be fully trusted, and we have to know that. You know, I love sports. Probably watch more of it than I should. That might change now that my boy has left. I don't know. But I was reading the paper a few months ago. I don't know why this actually came back into my mind when I was doing this study. And it was the thing about the basketball game, the NBA Finals, that were on a month or two ago, whenever. And as I read it, they were talking about the game that I had just watched the night before, and they had some facts that were glaringly wrong in it. And I read it, and I got done with it, put it aside, and it made me think, you know, there's error in that article, and if someone didn't see the game, they wouldn't know. And how easily it was slid in there. Not that it was slid in on purpose, but it was slid in there. And it kind of hammered home to me that, you know, there's nothing trustworthy in this world that's sure except for the scriptures. Everything we know and believe needs to be according to the scriptures. What a treasure it must have been to behold his countenance here on earth. To think of the honor it would have been to walk and to talk with the Lord Jesus Christ here on earth. I've often wondered what that would be like. To walk with the very God of very God. And through the annals of time, thousands and thousands and thousands of years, from Adam till now, all those years, there were only a little over 30 where the Son of God physically existed on this earth. And I'm a math guy. Anytime I get to play with numbers, I love them. I love doing that. And I looked at the percentage of time Jesus Christ was here on the earth. And you realize that his life here on earth was one half of 1/1000th of all time, from Adam unto us. You look at that little tiny fraction of time, but how it changed the landscape of everything. He was appointed, he was anointed by God to come down here and to die for mankind. That was his purpose. And he knew that from all of time. You know, and he left his place in glory to come and to die for you and I. And I know that because the scriptures tell me. I could say, according to the scriptures, Jesus Christ bled and died on the cross. And you can have no more powerful words than that. No more powerful words than saying, well, according to the scriptures, you know, his body wasn't stolen like the Jews said it was. But you have God's word. And I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, but it's powerful when there's so much corruption and trash out there being passed as truth. We have no excuse for believing it. Zero. Because the scriptures don't say it. So we've got something very powerful here in the scriptures. Avail yourself of it. There's something out there called, I don't know if you've ever heard this, the Magdalene Conspiracy. Anyone heard of that? Magdalene Conspiracy? I never really knew about it. I read something about it, and I realized you've got tens of millions of people believing it and following it. And it was resurrected by that stupid book that was out a few years ago, Da Vinci Code. And that resurrected it and actually tells, and people believe this, that there was allegedly a life that Jesus Christ lived here on earth that was never told about. Never told about. And people believe it because this is a man-made thing. And it's ridiculous. Like he had children and things like that. Just really, really stupid things. And people actually teach that. And I can say right now, I can discount it to anybody. And my only defense would be more powerful than anything they could say or do. I'm saying it's not according to the scriptures. This is what God wants us to know about Jesus Christ. I wish we knew more about this present age of grace, but He gave us obviously enough that we need, everything we need to know to live a life that's pleasing to Him. And think about, you know, if God is so, I don't even know the word I'm looking for. I mean, He can create a world like this by speaking it into existence. There's got to be so much that we never know here on this earth. There's got to be so much. He gave us just enough so our finite minds can understand it. And yet we're going to spend our entire life in this book trying to figure out that little bit. And it should excite you to no end that to know that you probably know a fraction of what there is to know. And one day you'll be known. You know, you'll know Him as He knows you. And that's an exciting thing. And it's all through the Scriptures, according to the Scriptures. During our Lord's time here on earth, and even in His 40-day resurrected state, man walked and talked with Him. You know, it was easy to believe in Him when He's right there in front of your eyes, when you see Him. Yet today we must walk by faith and not by sight. But that's just as easy and just as sure as walking side by side with Him as it is according to the Scriptures. When you read this, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt what He did in His life. Because it's all in accordance to the Scriptures. If you don't have that, you've got nothing. And I can't help believe that when Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians 15, that there was a reason for him adding those words. According to the Scriptures. It wasn't arbitrarily, and there's a reason why he repeated it too. There has to be. And it's to tell us, it's got to be according to the Scriptures. And then what does God do? He has every right in the world to spew every one of us out of His mouth. But what He does is out of love, is He gives us the Scriptures that tell about Him. And we don't avail ourselves of it nearly as much as we should. This book ought to be reverenced when we read it. You know, I'll read three or four verses at a time, and that's all my feeble mind really can absorb. It's just a few verses at a time. But I know that any time I want to, I can go back to this book, because it hasn't changed. And if I was buying a new version every year that was coming out, that's going to be complicated. You know something? And I'm not making this up, and I probably said this. So, since I'm up here speaking, you got to listen to it again. That when the Lord first saved me, down in Miami, we're at some, I'm at some Sunday school class. And Casey had just been born, so Tanya had to stay home with Casey. And I'm at some Sunday school class. And the guy stands up, and it's like a beginner's class. And he's like, okay, everyone, I want you to read, he mentioned some verse. And he goes, but when you stand up, you need to say what version you're using. And I mean, how naive I was, I didn't know that there were other versions. I was raised with the King James, that's all I ever had. Of course, when I had to go find it and blow all the dust off of it and bring it with me. But I started, I was like, I remember like it was yesterday. I was like, what? What? Other versions? And then there was about seven people that got up. And what I actually thought, God is my witness, I actually thought in my mind, this is confusing. And would you know that within a week, when I was reading the scriptures, I read, God is not the author of confusion. And it was like a punch. I realized that's why I'm in the beginner's class, for that sole purpose, so that I could hear that. And a whole bunch of other string of things were leading up to Hurricane Andrew, which took that church out. Turned out to be the biggest blessing ever. But that was so interesting to hear that and to think it's confusion. And that's the tool of Satan. That's the tool of Satan, is to confuse you or to make you so cold and indifferent. What's the big deal? You know, the Bible's the Bible. Well, I bet you if you did a study and found some of these modern versions, how many words are changed, it's a lot more than 25,000 that have been added. Because now we have the descriptive Bible, which paints everything in this cartoon caricatures. Anyway, we'll never know all of what there is to know about the Lord Jesus Christ until we see Him face to face. And that's going to be a really glorious day. Think of that. When you see Him face to face, I know we will, because according to the Scriptures, we will. That's all we need to know. According to the Scriptures, we're going to see Him face to face. And we're going to see Him at the same time as Dusty and Frank and Bill and Paul the Apostle. What a wonderful day that will be, so that people can glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to have nothing but the glory of Christ up there. And again, that's according to the Scriptures. He was sent here to glorify God on this earth, and He did. And in return, one day He'll be glorified. And that day has not come yet, but it will. We need to believe, for faith that's seen is not faith. Excuse me, and hope that's seen is not hope. But don't desire for God to reveal Himself to you anyway, but through the Word. You know as well as I do, we were watching something. I think we were here just a night or two ago. My memory slips. Isn't that a shame? Not even 60 and my memory's going. I don't know where I saw it, but I know that someone was talking about God spoke to them about where this lady's dead body was. Someone kills someone. She comes out and God spoke to me, and they take them there, and it's there. I don't know if that person ended up being the murderer. That'd be pretty stupid. But, you know, it's a trite thing for people. When people say that now, God spoke to me. Well, according to the Scriptures, He speaks to you through the Scriptures. That's pretty elementary. And I feel foolish to say that. But if it's not according to the Scriptures, and these are the Scriptures, King James Bible. If it's not according to the Scriptures, it's easy. You don't believe it. That's why it's so important. Dusty always said, have chapter and verse for what you believe and why. And I think that we all tend to forget after a while what we believe and why. It's always good to go back and recharge and how you know what you know and why you believe what you believe. Everything we know about the heavens being silent and one day the Lord will reveal Himself through His appearing. And until such time, we live by faith and not by sight. And it's faith in the Scriptures according to the Scriptures. According to the Scriptures, we're to walk by faith and not by sight. And I include audio along with visual. God's not talking to people today. If He is, show us where. He's talking to us through the Scriptures, not audibly. But yet, people make such light of it. And I don't know why they can't see that that's a dangerous thing to be doing. To have a world out there today that has to see to believe. They don't believe it because it's according to the Scriptures. But rather, according to my eyes, what I can see. You know, and even if God was moving openly today and performing miracles through these mediators, they call themselves mediators, besides the Lord Jesus Christ, I would not even take the opportunity to go see that person. Wouldn't waste the time. It's more blessed not to see and believe, said the Lord. And I'm willing to bet my house that there's no true believer in Jesus Christ today that is begging God for a miracle in order for them to believe because their faith gets weak. But you are taught that out there, you know, that God needs to recharge you and we'll have a miracle, and they throw that word around too. I would rather say, you know, well, show me where, because according to the scriptures, he's not in the miracle business anymore. Although he's very capable of doing it. But we know the next time that God makes any kind of movement in the heaven is at his appearing. Because that's what the scriptures say. So I know that tomorrow, if I wake up and he doesn't appear, and someone says, God just spoke to me and told me this, or someone shows up claiming to be Christ, which we've had those people before, and even if they could actually do miracles, don't believe it, because it says the next time he comes, it's going to be when he appears for the church, which is his body. And we believe that because that's according to the scriptures, is why I believe it. And those words are so important, because if what you believe is not in according to the scriptures, don't believe it. And you hear it too. I just feel that a God, a loving God, cannot send a child to hell. I just feel it. I know he wouldn't. Well, according to the scriptures, in sin did my mother conceive me. She's conceived in sin. And that's the travesty of abortion. These children are never given the opportunity. There's some people that grow to be 100 years old and they were never given the opportunity. But you have kids still in the womb, never given the opportunity. We have a world today that has to see instead of believing. If your faith is weak, get it recharged through the scriptures. If you're dying to see a miracle, get into the scriptures. This book is miraculous. Because it'll change your mind. It'll change your heart. It'll cause you to have a respect for the Lord Jesus Christ like no one out there does. This book can do it. There's something about this book that will cause you to read it hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. Reading the same book hundreds and hundreds of times. And it's still as enthralling on the 101st time as it was on the 100th. It has to be God's Word. It has to be God's Word. And everything that you read, you can count on because it's according to the Scriptures. Is there any hope that you have today that's based upon anything other than the Scriptures? I hope the answer is no, because if the Scriptures say it, it can be true. You can be trusted. But what we see and what we believe outside of the Scriptures isn't real, isn't reality. This is a blessed and most precious book. And there are a few things that we believe only because the Scriptures say it so. And that's good enough for the believer. Yet if you really step outside the Scriptures, it would boggle your mind. How come you believe that God spoke this world into existence? That's not normal. But you tell it to a 2-year-old kid, okay. And they're fine with it. You teach it to your kids when they're young. They grow up, they never question that. Now if you tell them, well, your dad created this world by speaking, you know, they're like, well, that doesn't sound right. But you say God did it, okay. They believe in God, they don't ever have to even see him. But think about that. How come you believe he spoke this world into existence? Why? Well, according to the scriptures, it says he did. So you put that in the factual, not going to change, column. He formed man out of dirt. How do you know that? He formed man out of dirt. And look how intricate our bodies are. We got doctors out there in the best schools and colleges. They're trying to learn what God did with our bodies that He made out of dirt. But why do we believe that? Now, I know you've got these idiots on the other side that spend their life disproving the scriptures, and let them. Because I guarantee you, Stephen Hawking, he's going to find out one day that he wasted his whole life. Brilliant mind wasted. How do we know that Noah brought two of every animal on the ark, and Elijah was drawn away in a chariot of fire, not to see death? How do you know that God parted the Red Sea? How do you know that Jonah was swallowed by a big fish? How do you know that our Lord was born of a virgin? How do we know that He turned wine into water, and that He walked on water? How do we know that He was crucified, dead, and buried? How do we know He was born of a virgin? How do we know He was crucified, dead, and buried? How do we know that we were redeemed through His blood, and that we're to love and to await His appearing? How do we know that, and so much, much more? Because according to the Scripture, that's true. See how important that is? All of that you can believe. Don't believe what you see and hear out there. About maybe it was an amoeba that washed up on shore one day. I don't mind believing that if it's according to the Scriptures. If you always keep that one-track mind, you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong. How can you go wrong if everything that you believe is according to the Scriptures? That's why you need to know it. And don't just take, people's word for it. Learn it. God's word. Think about those words. God's word. You know, one of good as gold promises. We're from the South, so I don't know if this is as good as gold up here. But down in the South, when you say, "You got my word on it," we don't need a contract. We don't need that. You say, "I got your word on it." Okay. Think of that. God's word. This is God's word. Your word may not be worth much to anybody other than that person that you made that agreement with. But this is God's word. We have God's word on it. He's given us His word. And I think that's a beautiful thought, because it's as good as gold. It can't be any better. A promise can't be any better than if it was God's word. And we know what the gospel is. And the mere fact that Paul tells us is according to the Scripture makes it even more valid. In a world full of churches that entertain and tickle men's ears, they have to believe, have the approval of others. They're blinded to the truth through the things that they can see, smell, touch, taste. You know those things, the water baptism, tithing, the whatever else. But they got all those little things. And that gives them comfort. I imagine it gives them comfort. But it's more blessed to believe and to not see. You know, I'm sure that I have relatives that get their support from a huge support group, a church. I know I had an aunt that did. I know I have an aunt that actually had to have believed she was saved because she played the organ for like 52 years, the same church. And that was her boasting thing. I've been the organist for 52 years. Well, it's kind of funny because one day she comes in, they have a new organist, someone who's like 40 years younger than her. They're like, "Bye." So what she does, she goes to another church where she can play her organ. I just thought, that's to them how they please God in their mind. But it pleases God when you believe His Scriptures. When you actually put some muscle behind those words according to the Scriptures. It pleases God when you say, "I'm not going to believe it if it's not in accordance with the Scriptures." That pleases God. I know it does. It has to, because He gave us His Word, and Scriptures tell us that Jesus Christ and the Word are one. So He gave us Christ in written form here. So I know He respects His Word. People's security, it's horrible. They need assurance of salvation, but that assurance only comes through the Word of God. It's always good to knock yourself down a few pegs and then let the scriptures pick you back up. Kind of like weight training. You know, knock yourself down a few pegs and let the scriptures pick you back up. They're not going to pick you back up by telling you how good you are. They're going to pick you back up by telling you how beautiful Christ is. And we get strength from that. Do we not? When we close the Bible and say a prayer and realize, not emotion, that we can't help but get emotional, but you realize the Son of God speaks to me and walks with me every day. And I know that because it's in accordance with the Scriptures. When it says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins," that ought to thrill your heart. You, he quickened. You were dead. You were dead. How in the world can you walk down an aisle and make a profession of faith when the Bible, according to the Scriptures, says you're dead? You were quickened, but not by anything that you did. That's actually common sense. It ought to be. It's amazing how many people still have issue with that. We have trials and tribulations in our lives. I'm sure you hear the same thing from people. We'll always ask you to pray for them. But we need to know what to pray for. We can't use prayer so flippantly, or as flippantly as we do. Because we're beckoned to come before the throne of grace, boldly before the throne of grace. So we have grace in time of need. How do we know that? How can you put that in that column and check it off? Need grace? Go to the throne of grace. Check it up. You know, I have scripture on it. It's according to the scriptures. That puts a period after it. I don't need to go to one of these prayer meetings. I don't need to say when two or three are gathered together, there I am also. He lives within you. And you know what? This sounds really, really trite, probably, but when I realized that was when I was on a plane from Miami to Orlando when I worked in Miami. I was on a plane reading the scriptures and just dawned on me taking Christ with me. You know, he's not there in the Orlando airport waiting for me. He's not back at home at my house, you know, twiddling his thumbs waiting for me. That was a big deal to me, to know you're taking Christ with you because he lives in you. And that was a very big moment, but I know that's true. You can't change my mind because it's according to the scriptures. According to the scriptures, it says he lives in us. I'm just going to go with that, checked in that column again. And that's the way we live our life. But sadly, other religions get so far away from the truth. You know, when the Mormons, they read only the King James. You know that? No other Bible. But they also have the Book of Mormon. I don't know if you know this or not. Check it out, because I'm right on it. If the Book of Mormon and the King James Bible disagree in any point, you revert to the Book of Mormon. Then why not just throw the book away? Rather than say, well, this is my second favorite book. This is the second scriptures. That's irreverent. That's disgusting. And that'll send you to hell. For certain it will. And they're so much more moral than probably everyone in this room. Not going to get them anywhere. Because they don't believe according to the scriptures. They believe according to a book that some angel and guy with glasses developed. It's a sad thing. If Jesus Christ would have died according to the scriptures, and he were buried according to the scriptures, but never raised again from the dead as the scriptures foretold, could the scriptures be trusted? If his death, burial, and resurrection were only according to men, that wouldn't be enough. If you think about all of our history books and everything we know about secular history, such as life and times of all the presidents, all the wars, all the information that state It's factual. All those books that we read, even the 1828 Webster's Dictionary, and we got to see his original house and the room and the table where he did the 1828 dictionary. Pretty cool. Noah Webster. But even that, it's all according to men. It's all according to men, so it can't be trusted. You take it with a grain of salt. Say, okay, well, that sounds good. You make sure you tell people. And this is according to the dictionary. You know, once you say it's according to the scriptures, all of a sudden, you become a very powerful person. You have power because you're given that right. Because those scriptures saved your life through believing it. And according to the scriptures, that's true. Even though the scriptures prophesied of the Lord Jesus Christ and everything that he would do, Satan still wanted to prove him to be a liar, to fill men's mouths and hearts with rage and bitterness. Satan couldn't hide the fact that the Son of God lived his life as a perfect example before man. So, he had to hide the fact that he was raised from the dead. And some people believed it. The stolen body, that's another one of those real off-track things that people believe, that it was in fact stolen and hidden and it's still in some grave. I can read that and chuckle, actually. But I can't chuckle at the fact that people are believing it. But I can thank the Lord that I know if it's not according to the scriptures, it's not worth believing. You got these little brain cells all over the place. Each time you get information, it goes into one of those brain cells. And I'm thinking, I only have limited brain cells, so I need to put information that's useful to me. And believing things that are not truth isn't a matter you want to have. And so I'm going to end today by speaking a little bit more, just a few more seconds, about the beauty of the scriptures and how it applies to our lives through what he did. Through what our Lord Jesus Christ did, we know that he had a perfect life. It was according to the scriptures. You know, we know he was taken out, he was beaten, he was abused, he was mocked, he was spat at, he was reviled, he was hated. He was hated. And yet we know he was coming to do the will of the Father. We know all of that according to the scriptures. We know that he shed real blood there on Calvary. We know he spoke 7 times. Each one had a private message, I'm sure, between him and the Father that we're never going to get to know until out in eternity. But I know he spoke 7 times. I know that when he died, they thrust a sword in his side. I would have more confidence in that, because it's according to the scriptures, than if I was actually there that day. Because your eyes can trick you. You know, I like these little 3D pictures. I don't know if you know what those are. It's like when you look at them and you stare at them, it becomes actually like a 3D picture. Tiny doesn't like me doing it because she says it's a tool of Satan. I say, well, your brain isn't smart enough to see it. And so you look at it, and it turns into a 3D picture. And I say that only because it's done to show how much your eyes deceive you. Your eyes can deceive you. I see someone out there doing miracles or things like that. I'm not going to believe it. I'm not going to believe my eyes. I believe more that Jesus Christ died on the cross because the scriptures say it than I do if I were there on that day. I believe he was buried in a borrowed man's tomb. Brand new tomb, never used before. And that was reserved only for kings and princes and the most elite people, a brand new tomb. I believe he was buried in it. I believe that the angels rolled those stones away. And they looked in and they saw an angel that said, he is not here, he is risen. I believe that because that's according to the scriptures. And I believe that so much that I don't even have to be there I don't have to question that. He was raised from the dead, walked on the earth for 40 days. We know that right now. He's sitting on the right hand of God, right where he was thousands of years before he ever came. You know, we had the wings of the cherubims singing his praise, angels singing his praise, like they're doing again now. And the heavens right now are empty. They're awaiting, everything is awaiting his appearing. I know we're awaiting his appearing because the scriptures tell me so. And I know it's going to come one day. So all these people that are looking for his coming and just putting his feet on Mount Olive, I just have to say that's, you know, yeah, that'll happen one day. But according to the scriptures, he's going to return to the church, which is his body. And you and him will be mentally, physically, spiritually, everything inseparable. We know that because it's according to the scriptures. So my time is up.